Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
I'm sure you've heard warnings about looking straight at the sun during an eclipse. Well, what about looking straight at God? Recently, we published Turn Your Face Toward It. I recommend this article, or podcast if you prefer to listen. It explores a phrase right out of Scripture, turn your face toward it. What is the intent? Well, to turn your face toward God's face. Especially interesting because Scripture says no one can look at Him and live. So the question is, can you look at God? Can you look at God and live? It's an interesting question for people who want to know Him, especially if you claim to be His child. After all, Exodus 33, verse 20 says, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." As we explored recently, apparently Moses did want to look at God. This kind of desire is cultivated in one's deepest soul, a yearning to know and see God, to understand more about Him and His ways. It's not true that some people have it and others don't. Actually, it's a choice. First, let's look at the larger passage of Exodus 33, verses 18 through 23. Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Okay, that was the passage from Exodus 33, 18 through 23. Second, we have to admit something. The ability to see God partially depends on whether you want to see Him, whether you pursue Him. Indeed, whether you turn your face toward His. Now, in contrast to the previous passage, the one that we just read, here are a couple of additional ones that are very interesting. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Or what about this one from Psalms 27, verse 8? "Seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." Or this one from Psalms 105, verse 4. "Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always." Is there contradiction in these portions of Scripture with the portion that says you can't look at God and live? Again, the oxymoron we previously mentioned. Let's take a deeper look at God. Before we address this oxymoron, let's look deeper at the Exodus passage that we just talked about. First of all, Moses is hungry to see and know God. So, there's hunger involved in wanting to see God. Next, God wants people to see and know Him. However, He also knows no one can look at Him and live. He deeply loves and protects those who want to know Him. So, to make it possible for Moses to see and know him better, he arranges a safe scenario. And here's how that looks. Protectively, he places Moses in a cleft of the rock where Moses' life will be protected. Then he promises to speak his living name in Moses' presence. This is big. Here's why. In Isaiah 6, verses 2 through 4, we see this really interesting reality. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. From this, we deduce the holiness of God is powerful, even overwhelming. The seraphim in his presence constantly cover themselves. They announce to one another God's holiness. The doorposts shake at this announcement, and the temple is filled with smoke. Now, imagine what it would be like for God, the perfect holy being, to announce his own holiness. There'd be a lot more shaking, smoke, and righteous danger. It's hard for us to imagine. Yet this was Moses' scenario. Still, God promised Moses, "I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." Let's take a moment to talk about goodness and glory. Back to God protecting Moses in the cleft of the rock. Okay, so now that Moses is safely tucked in a cleft of the rock, God arranges for his goodness to pass in front of Moses. Apparently, this is something a person can look at. Remarkably, God wants people to see his goodness, one of his incredible attributes. Essentially, this one attribute, goodness, eliminates many, sometimes ridiculous, arguments about whether God is who he claims to be. You can't be good and bad at the same time and remain congruently good. Well, kindly, God does one more preliminary thing. He quite literally puts his hand over Moses so he cannot see his face. Once his glory passes by, he removes his hand for Moses to see his goodness, his back. This is protective love. Okay, now let's look at the other way around, glory and goodness. If we assign goodness as a quality of what God does and glory as the essence of who God is, we can observe what God does more easily than who he is. Let's look at glory first this time. Glory is what God is through and through. And now let's flip to goodness. It's what he does. Because he is so good, we can bear witness to his goodness through creation, Christ's life, Jesus' cross and resurrection, and all the centuries filled with the lives of his followers, just to name a few. So we are allowed to see his goodness, but only a measured view of his glory. Interestingly, glory seems associated with God's face, and goodness associated with his back, which Moses was allowed to see. Wherever the Lord goes, he leaves an undeniable trail of good things he's done, people he's helped, interventions he's provided. But still, the question, can you look at God? Let's explore one section from the recent article I mentioned earlier. Turn your face toward it. All right, first of all, there's an element of seeing God through the eyes of faith. Look at his attributes, his character and conduct, and his promises and commands. These give a strong picture of what his face is like. Additionally, we are told God is love, 1 John 4, verse 8. So that's the first way we look at God, is through the eyes of faith. The second way, well, Jesus changed everything. Being God, yet also man, Jesus is viewable. God in skin, with original human nature running through his veins. So, you can look at Jesus and see God. Jesus said, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." John 14, 7. You see God through the life of Christ. Jesus also declares, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." John 14, verse 9. Quite literally, Jesus means he is a picture of God. So, that's the second way we can see God, is through the life of Jesus. The third way, and even more stunning, is this. Jesus is the exact representation of God. Hebrews 1 verse 3a says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." So, again, we look at God through the eyes of faith. We see God through Jesus' life when he lived on earth. And, stunningly, we remember that Jesus is the exact representation of God. So everything that Christ did, said, claimed, taught, that means we see God. Now, we said Jesus truly changes everything. Because he became a human, Jesus makes it possible to see God and live. Plus, he provides an example of God's goodness. Actually, his glory is a stumbling block. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." This too seems like an oxymoron. The glorious Christ, who exactly represents God in a body, crucified? Dead? Yes. Christ is sometimes a stumbling block. Jesus' humanity is a challenge. People struggle to equate him as 100% God precisely because he's a man. Plus, he died. How does God die? Of course, he rose from the dead. But still, he is fully God and fully man. Blessed is the person who does not let this rhetoric interfere with faith in Jesus. Jesus, a paradox. Like us, but not like us. God's glory as a man in Christ is something we can look at face to face, but we don't see the complete glory of God, the holiness not even the seraphim can look at. Jesus' goodness is seen in what he says, does, and teaches. It's observable. Apparently, you can look at God and live. If you see God through the eyes of faith, and if you look at Jesus, who makes God viewable. Why? Because he's the exact representation of God. Here are the application thoughts and questions over today's content. Number one, do you want to look at God? Are you hungry to know Him more, to love Him more, and serve Him better? Number 2, in what ways do you seek God each day? 3, interestingly, by simply being you, some of God's glory shows in your life. Number 4, how are you showing God's goodness? By what you say and do and teach. Number 5, are you letting Jesus change you? 6, when others look at your life, do they see Jesus? I invite you, follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app, or you can use the online player at the top of each of our articles. Do visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.